much.
Shall I do the roll call, Chuck?
Yes, Glenn, that's first item. Go ahead.
Thank you. On the call we have from the Contracted Parties House, GTLD Registry Stakeholder Group, Chuck Gomes, Edmund Chun. Registrar, Adrian Kinderis, Stefan van Gelder. Non-Contracted Parties House, the Commercial Stakeholder Group, Zaid Jamil. Mike Rodenbach is absent. He sent his apologies. Christina Rosette will be late coming on to the call. We have David Taylor, Wolf Ulrich Knoben. From the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group, we have Rafik Damek, Bill Drake, Deborah Hughes, Rosemary St. Clair, and Olga Cavelli. And we have Andre Koleshnikov, non-voting member, and Han Chuan Lee, who is our CCNSO observer. From staff, we have Denise Michel, Liz Gaster, Margie Malam, Marika Koenigs, Rob Hogarth, Julie Headland, and Glenn de Saint-Gerie. Have I missed anybody?
Caroline Greer on the call, Glenn.
Ah, thank you, Caroline.
Thanks.
Chuck, over to you.
Thank you, Glenn, and welcome, Caroline. And I want to extend a welcome to our two newest members, to David Taylor, who was unable to join us in the meeting in Seoul, although he did participate in some of the voting, so I appreciate that. To Caroline Greer, who is the new representative on the registry stakeholder group and taking the seat of Jordy. And also, is Alan not on yet? Is that correct?
He's not on yet, Chuck.
Okay, well, anyway, congratulations to Alan for being reelected as the ALAC liaison. Please note that Caroline submitted a statement of interest, and it's posted. You can see the link on the agenda there. Does anybody else have an update to their statement of interest? Not hearing anyone, we'll go on to item 1.4, which is to review or amend the agenda. The agenda's been out there with a few updates, and does anybody have any suggestions for changes to the agenda or additions to the agenda?
No changes, but it's Alan. I'm here now.
Welcome, Alan, and congratulations on your reelection as the ALAC liaison.
Thank you.
We appreciate all your contributions on behalf of the ALAC and your contributions to our work.
You may regret saying that.
don't make me do that, Alan. All right. Going on then to item 2.
Chuck?
Yes?
This is Edmund. One thing, you know, I wonder if it would fit into the AOB is the I did restart the IDNG discussion as I mentioned in the wrap-up session in Seoul. Seems like there are some interest there. Wonder if there's time at the AOB to talk a little bit about it.
Okay, we will do that if there's time. So I will add that down there under any other business so that when we get there we can do that. All right, anything else? Okay, going on to item 2 then. Just wanted to go over some of the changes that impact us with regard to the new operating procedures. Most everybody is aware of this, probably all of you are already, but I don't want us to forget these things because they're changes from the way we operated in the past. First of all, in Section 3.3, and you can see all of this detail in the agenda, so I will go through it quickly. Note that reports and motions should be submitted, obviously always as soon as possible, but no later than 8 business days before the GNSO Council meeting. Note the change there that we previously had a 7-day practice. It was made 8 days so that there's a chance then to include it in an agenda that needs to be sent out in 7 days. So please try your best to do that. Section 3.4, and interrupt me at any point if you have a question on any of these. Section 3.4, meeting schedules. Notice that we do have a deadline of just a few days from now on the 30th of having a 12-month schedule of meetings that will be acted on in this call today. And also there's also a link to the 12-month schedule proposed by myself and Olga and Stefan. And then our next steps on that are basically to vote on a 12-month schedule after we discuss it and make any edits that we might decide to make today. Section 3.5, the procedure to produce and approve minutes is different than what we've done in the past. For years, we've been approving all minutes in the meeting. The new procedures that we approved in Seoul have a different procedure. Let me quickly go through that so that everybody's familiar with the procedures in that case. Notice that it says within 10 days of the meeting, the chair and vice chairs will edit the draft minutes and request the secretary to circulate a draft summary to the GNSO council members for comment and approval. All comments received will be accepted for inclusion into the draft minutes unless there are objections. If no objections are received within 10 days, the minutes will be deemed to have been approved for posting. So, we're no longer going to have a minutes approval agenda item unless there's some special situation where there were objections that couldn't be resolved on the list. And so the minutes will automatically be approved. And if there are objections, they will be noted in the minutes. Any questions or comments on that? Please note that minutes from the both the October 8th meeting, which was under the old council, and the minutes from our 28th October meeting in Seoul are out there for review and comment right now. So they will be approved according to the 10-day limit there and this new procedure. If you have any objections or corrections, please communicate them on the list, and they will be reflected in the final minutes. Any questions or comments on that? Okay, and I appreciate everybody's due diligence in reviewing that to make sure that our record is accurate. We now go to item 3 on the agenda, a motion to approve minor edits to the GNSO Council operating procedures. There's a clean and a red line version provided. The red line version is an easy way to see the changes. As you can see, there will be most of the changes are non-material. There was only one change that was a little more substantive, and it was left out in what we acted on in Seoul inadvertently, and the working team, though, had intended that to happen. Are there any questions, or does anybody want to discuss any of the changes that were made in the operating procedures? Keeping in mind that the operating procedures aren't totally finished yet, the working team will be continuing to work on other areas of the operating procedures that were not critical for us to have in place under the bicameral council. Okay. Hearing none, then there is a motion that has been made for the for this meeting, and that's let me get the motion in front of me. Sorry about that. Thought I had it up here, and I'm not finding it. Okay. The motion was made by... bear with me here. Did I make that motion?
Yes, you did, Jack.
Okay, there we go. I found them. I have tons of windows open here. So, all right, so we have made by me and seconded by Wolf. Since I made the motion, I will go ahead and read through it quickly. Whereas the GNSO Council approved its new GNSO Council operating procedures during its 28 October 2009 meeting in Seoul, whereas the GNSO Council Operations Work Team Chair advised Council members in Seoul of the need to incorporate a number of clarifying edits to the procedures adopted by the Council, whereas the edits are intended to simply clarify the original procedural language recommended by the work team, whereas the work team has been directed by the Council to continue its work on a second phase of substantive Council procedural recommendations, including a further examination of voting abstentions. Resolve, the Council accepts the clarifying edits forwarded by the work team and looks forward to the subsequent substantive procedural recommendations to be developed by the work team. Staff is directed to share the edited procedures with the board and post both clean and redlined versions of the procedures on the GNSO webpage. Any questions on that motion? And I think I saw a typographical error in the one. I'm having to scroll on the wiki here. It's my problem to get this to fit. So maybe I don't edited procedures. Just one moment. The board. Maybe I didn't. Did anybody else see a typo in there? It's probably just the fact that I'm scrolling, having to scroll right and left to see the whole thing here. So, any questions or comments, discussion on this? Is there anyone opposed to a voice vote on this? Okay, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. Are there any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you very much. So now we go to item 4, our council meeting times through March 2010. I want to thank Stefan, Adrian, Edmund, and Hanchuan for their work on this. There is a meeting times chart that was sent out, and the reason we're only looking at meeting times for the first quarter, for those of you that may not recall, is that the plan from our Thursday follow-up meeting in Seoul was to relook at the whether we want to meet every 3 weeks and so forth. So we may revisit this after we experiment with the proposal that we approved today at that time or sooner if we need to, and just like with the 12-month calendar that we'll look at in a little bit. So we have three options that there's a motion on. There were four options considered. Originally, the small groups proposed three, and then one was added that tended to be more more support for and less difficult conflicts than one of the others. So three are in the motion. Before we have discussion on this, let me ask Stefan to read the motion and discuss it after, and notice that it's been, that I seconded the motion. So it's been moved and seconded already. Stefan.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. So the motion reads, whereas the GNSO Council is a body comprised of 22 members who reside in all regions of the globe, whereas the GNSO Council has regular teleconference meetings which require all members who are available to connect at the same time, whereas the geographic diversity of the Council members makes it impossible to set a teleconference time that is during normal working hours for all involved, whereas at its October the 29th, 2009 meeting, the Council discussed the issue of teleconference times, whereas Edmund Chung, Han Chang Li, Adrian Kindris all volunteered to work on proposals for meeting times, and Stefan Van Gelder volunteered to chair the group. Whereas the group proposed four different time options, Link provided, and suggested that a rotation be introduced between the three most convenient time options, whereas further discussion within the Council made it clear that there was a preference for a rotation to be introduced between options 2, 3, and 4, resolved, the GNSO Council will rotate its teleconference meeting times between UTC 1100, 1500, and 2000, starting with the November the 23rd, 2009 meeting scheduled at 1100 UTC.
Thank you, Stefan, and thanks again to the small group that worked on this for us after Seoul. Discussion.
Chuck, this is Olga.
Yes, Olga.
One question, maybe I missed it before. We're talking only about time zones. Are we saying something about the day in the week? Because that would be useful for me for ordering my classes and my activities.
Yes, and that will be covered on the our 12-month calendar.
Okay.
Agenda item that's coming up next.
Okay.
Okay? Yes, it's absolutely critical that we know that as well. Any other questions or comments on the motion? Okay. Hearing none.
Chuck, hi, this is Zahid.
Zahid? Was that Zahid?
Yes.
Go ahead.
That's right. This is Zahid. Thank you. I was just wondering, from the sort of different time zones that they're choosing, it seems that some people will not be on the call, at least on one of the conference calls. So, for instance, let's take the example of today. Mike is not on the call today. What it does is by having these sort of different time zones, it reduces the number of counselors on the call. I'm just wondering, you know, this is just a personal view. I thought that the previous way was doing it sort of work, maybe we can be flexible on it, but having so many distinct time zones causes, I feel, a lot of people to drop off calls and not be available. I don't know what other people feel about that.
Well, I think, let me comment, first of all, Zahid, I think that's a concern, and that's why we did this exercise in the first place, because there were certain people who were always in that situation. And the idea was to move it around, and hopefully then even those who are impacted negatively, if it only happens once every three meetings, it's a little more tolerable than if it happens just about every meeting. Stefan, you want to comment on that, or anybody else on the working group, or for that matter, anybody on the call?
Well, I'm happy to say just a few words, Chuck. Just to reiterate, basically, that the work undertaken here was at the behest of Council and certain Council members who were, as Chuck described, in a situation where it was never convenient for them to participate. And I'm thinking, obviously, of the people more in the Asia-Pacific region. So what we've tried to do is to find we tried to find out of three different time zones and time options at least two that would suit most people most of the time. And we realized that one of the time options that is being proposed may not suit, you know, there will be one of those time options where people will be particularly inconvenienced. We realized that, but we felt the only way to go about this was to try and get the majority of the time people to be, you know, not too inconvenienced. So that's the way we went about the work, and we put those time zones together, put them on a spreadsheet, and had a look, and that's what we've come out with. The previous system was having all the council meetings at the same time, which was actually pretty good for Europe, for example, because if my memory is correct, it was around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but it must have been very inconvenient for other people. So we've tried to get some rotation going, and I hope that people aren't too inconvenienced, that they can attend most of the meetings.
And note that the Europeans still fared very well.
Absolutely.
So, which is
Europe
awesome.
Is the center of the world, by the way.
Thank you. Okay. Zaid, does that help a little bit? I mean, if you can come up with an alternative that would work better, please feel free to do so. If you look at the color coding on the time options, you will note that the red are the times between midnight, I think, and 5 a.m., and determined to be the worst, and the yellow are the times between 11 p.m. And midnight, or between 5 and 6 a.m. So if you look at that, you'll see that Hong Kong, so Edmund and Chuan Lee are at, you know, they have two pretty undesirable times still. In the case of Tokyo, so for Rafiq, we've got he's got one in the red and one in the yellow, and then in the case of Melbourne and Sydney, so for Adrian and
Rosemary.
Rosemary, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was just stuck on your last name and forgetting your first name, Rosemary. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Notice they have one in the red and one in the yellow. So those in the Asia Pacific still didn't come out with a great solution, but they've at least got one at what we would consider a more decent time, and then one in the yellow in the case of Tokyo and Melbourne. But Hong Kong, you still have two of the reds. So we didn't still come up with the best plan possible, but it may not be possible to do that. Anybody else want to comment?
Chuck, perhaps I should just add that we've what we tried to do as well was to try and get those times that we were looking at to include as many people as possible, so that we would not have gone for a time that would be convenient for, say, three out of the 22 council members. We tried to go for times that were convenient for the majority of people. And we did try, and our first approach actually was to try and get times that were convenient for the chair as well, but you gracefully said you were okay to get up early or go to bed late. So, we thought it was important to also maximize the chair and vice chair's participation if possible. But in the end, that's not the way it came out. We just tried to get the times that would be convenient for the most amount of people at a set given time.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Did that help? Zaheed, did that help?
Don't think it's a challenge to come up with a better time zone or much more suitable alternative. I completely agree. Let's move on from this and let's see how it works out, Chuck. I won't come in the way of that at all. I think let's try it. Let's see what happens.
Thank you very much. Okay. Then I think we're ready for a vote on the motion. Does anyone object to a voice vote on this? Hearing no objections, I would like to go ahead and call for the vote. And all those in favor of the motion to adopt a rotation, the rotation system proposed for council meeting time, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you very much for that, and thanks again to the team that helped pull this together and the discussion that occurred on the list. We next go to item five, the 12-month meeting schedule, and there's a link to that that hopefully all of you have reviewed. Essentially, what this is it has meetings every 3 weeks. Of course, we started off with a meeting today, which is not on our normal time because of the Thanksgiving holiday in the U.S. that affected a lot of people. And so there's always the possibility of making a change. The Stefan, would you like to talk about this?
Sorry, I was on mute. Well, the 12-month meeting schedule that's being proposed, and that I've now lost. I've got about as many pages as you have, Chuck, on my screen.
I understand.
It's hell. But basically, I can't find it, but I'll work from memory. Here what we're simply trying to, as those of you who are in Seoul for the wrap-up meeting may remember that we had a discussion on the amount of meetings that we should have per month, and some people were saying that maybe we should try and have a look at having a monthly meeting instead of the current schedule, which is one meeting every 3 weeks. We decided not to go, not to change the schedule for the moment, and to revisit this possibly after Nairobi. So the schedule that we proposed is one which has a meeting every 3 weeks, and it does get difficult to, once you start looking forward many months, it gets difficult to plan ahead, but hopefully the schedule is acceptable to most people, and then we can change if there are requirements to change. I'm sure we can change. But I do want to emphasize one of the things that we did say in Seoul was that we would have a look, revisit this after a few months to see if, notably in the context of our prioritization work, we are able to move the schedule up to having one meeting every month instead of one meeting every 3 weeks.
Thank you, Stefan. And Glenn, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the schedule has two exceptions on the every 3 weeks. The one today, obviously, and they're all on Thursdays, except for today. I think in May we moved a meeting out a week because of the Ascension Day in Europe. Is that correct?
Correct, Chuck. Yes, correct. It's Glenn.
And then, of course, it's adjusted so that the meetings in when we have ICANN in-person meetings, the meeting, of course, is on that Wednesday of the week of those meetings. Any other questions or comments, discussion on the proposed calendar? And again, this is a new requirement of the recently approved council operating procedures that within 30 days we have to approve a 12-month calendar, and then as we need to, the procedures allow us to make changes in that calendar as we move forward. So, for example, if we do decide to go to a meeting every 4 weeks or one a month, a few months down the road, we could update this calendar to reflect that.
Chuck, this is Olga.
Go ahead, Olga.
First, I want to thank Stefan and all the team for putting all the time and these dates together. One comment I just realized 2 days ago is that we may have some conflicts on the 17th of September because the dates of the IGF have changed completely. It's in November or December, but this next year, will be in September. So we may have that in mind when the time comes, and we may change it because some of us to participate in the meeting.
That's a good catch, Olga. And what are the, I recall that they were in September. What are the dates of the IGF in September?
14 to 18.
Okay, right there on that date. And
which is unusual, by the way, because the previous four meetings were all December or November.
Okay. Glenn, while we're discussing this, could you look at either the Thursday before that or the Thursday after the 16th to see if there are any holidays? I don't know if that's easy to do. It's probably not easy to do.
I'll do that quickly.
Near term, but thanks if you would do that. There were several of us on the council at the IGF last week, Olga, myself, Saheed, and then, of course,
Rafiq
was there. Who else did I miss?
Bill.
Andre was there.
Andre.
I'm here.
Bill.
Yeah, and Edmund was there. So there was a bunch
of us
there.
Bill keeps on giving his name, but no one's listening.
I heard the yo, but I didn't. It wasn't enough words for me to pick up the voice. Sorry about that, Bill. Bill was very active last week, in fact. So there's a large number of GNSO counselors that participate, so I think we do need to adjust that date. So Glenn's checking to see. While she's checking, if we look at that date, so what we would be looking at if we maintain a Thursday meeting, which probably makes sense because I think the IGF will pretty much take up that week. So if we do a Thursday meeting either before or after, what we're talking about is either the 9th of September or the 23rd of September. Does anybody see any problems with either of those dates that we can consider as we prepare the schedule?
Chuck, this is Bill.
Go ahead,
Bill.
Yes, I can.
All right. Just it's actually the date is up in the air. There was a date given, but then I was told by people in the Secretariat that they're talking about moving it to the first week of September. And they haven't decided yet that it's being coordinated with a bunch of different meetings. So I think you're not going to be able to nail this down right now.
So it might be better to just leave it alone and deal with it once the IGF dates are firmed up. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And the Lithuanian team is flexible with changing the date? You're not?
Well, I don't know how flexible they are, but they're trying to accommodate various other international meetings that are going on, including OECD and so on.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Bill. That's really helpful. So I think that probably for now, and we'll see what if Glenn came up with anything just for information, but probably it's best to leave this alone for now and then make changes later as soon as the IGF dates are firm.
Chuck, this is Glenn. It seems to, from a broad glance at a calendar, that there are a lot of school holidays around that date.
On which date?
Around the 23rd of September.
Okay, so then...
But they're school holidays, so if they're going to impact people. Otherwise, there is a Japanese public holiday.
Also a Jewish holiday on both of those.
On the 9th and the 23rd?
Yes.
And
Chuck,
Alan,
the ninth more important than the 23rd, depending on one's observances.
Okay, Glenn, if you'll just keep track of those for when we revisit this later, including the school holiday, that would be helpful. Alan, didn't you communicate on the list a couple other date problems?
Yeah, April 1st and April 20th are our holidays. Both of them ones that are some people observe, some people do not in terms of work.
April 1st and May 20th?
That's right.
Okay. Do either of those dates create problems for anyone on this call? Okay.
We're only setting the ones till February at the moment, so.
We're actually setting the dates for 12 months.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, now, but keep in mind they can be changed. Okay, so that if we find out, for example, that 1 April or 20 May are problems and that affect a lot of people, we can still make adjustments. But we have the requirement by the 30th of November to establish a 12-month calendar.
Chuck, this is Stefan.
Go ahead, Stefan.
Thank you. I would stick with the, you know, I wouldn't go into too much detail on the later dates for the latter part of the year. We will revisit this, as I said earlier on, and may change the schedule to monthly schedule, or we may not. So we do have to concentrate on the earlier dates. I mean, up to the Nairobi meeting, we need to get that, you know, pretty much spot on now, if possible. We are required to give a schedule for the year, so I think we've got one there. And if we find that you know, the dates around September need to be moved, I think we can revisit that later on. I don't think there's any need to spend too much time on it at this stage.
Thank you. Anyone else have a comment? We didn't prepare. Okay, go ahead.
I'd agree with Stefan. I think we can move on, saying that we can keep those days flexible. Just one thing, Chuck, I wanted to check with you. You know that there's a concern from the SCI group about the timing because of deadlines for the response to the board. Should we discuss this now or when the update comes up?
Well, that's on the agenda later, so we'll cover that when we get to that. I think, in fact, it's the next item. Okay. Anything else? All right. We then have a 12-month schedule in front of us. We did not prepare a formal motion for this. Are there any objections to this schedule being our initial 12-month schedule for the next 12 months? Any abstentions? So,
Chuck, it's Alan.
Hey, Alan.
Just in reference to what Zahid just said, we may want to defer this particular vote until after item 6, just so we don't have to go back and change it.
Okay, I'm missing something here.
The STI is suggesting that the meeting is held 3 days too late to meet the board requirement, and therefore an adjustment there may be inappropriate.
I think we're okay on that. I'm going to suggest that we just go ahead, and we'll I'll explain that as we go on to the SDI. I think there's probably just to answer it now. I think there's probably enough flexibility, both from the board and staff and the SDI group, at least from the people I've talked to there, that probably that will not have to be an issue. Okay. So rather than coming back to this.
Okay.
And again, we can always change this if we had to, but I don't think it'll be necessary. So, any objections to this 12-month calendar being posted? Okay, hearing none, then this will be our 12-month calendar to meet that deadline. And Glenn, what would be helpful then is if this gets not only posted but distributed so that people can put it on their calendars. And in addition, it'd be very helpful if through March, or that we also include the times of the meetings so that everyone can put the dates and times on their calendar, times where we have them, so that hopefully that minimizes conflicts going forward in scheduling meetings that conflict. Now, I understand that sometimes we have no control over that, but to the extent that we do, that would be very, very helpful.
I'll do that, Chuck.
Thank you very much.
Chuck, before we go on, it's Alan. I came in late, so maybe I missed an announcement. Is there no Adobe room for this meeting, or is it moved?
Oh, my apologies. I had written myself a note, and Marika had sent a note. There is not, because there was a technical problem that only allowed access for U.S.-based users, and so it was not opened up.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for bringing that up. I wrote myself a note and skipped right over it. So, all right. So we have a 12-month calendar, so that action item is taken care of. That brings us to item five, the 12-month, item six, the special trademark issues review team. And there is an update of that team's work that Zahid provided. Unfortunately, I don't think that was distributed to the council because we were waiting for the STI chair to approve it, and we didn't get that, although I don't think he opposes it. I think it was just a breakdown in communications there. So, Zahid, I would like you, if you would please, to go over your update with the full council.
Thank you, Chuck. Okay. With regard to the SCI, we've had when this update was written and it's the agenda, but I'll go through it very quickly. We've had, instead of SNAP, two other conference calls held last week, so we've had a total of six now. Up until last week, we were working off something called a common ground paper where all the different stakeholder groups and constituencies have put in their different views and we're trying to basically reach consensus. A lot of issues have reached consensus. And I'm happy to report that subsequent to that, straw man proposals were introduced on for both the issues, which are the trademark clearinghouse as well as the URS. And to a large extent, we have had an inverse of the sort of discussions we were having previously, where the trademark clearinghouse seemed to be less contentious and more. As we've gone through the process, it seems from at least from the last calls we've had, the URS seems to be having less contention as opposed to the trademark clearinghouse, which was very short, and it seems that there's been some recent difficulties and problems that the STI is facing in trying to reach consensus. So that's where we are at right now. However, I think as you can see, the deadline set by the board of the 14th of November for submission by the GMS Council of a final report is very close, and there was a view within the SCI, and once this update was provided to them, there has been no objection to anybody on what is basically listed on the score right now, which is that it is a sense that there will not be enough time to basically within the deadline provided by the GMS Council to provide this view. So the first thing that we've been asked to do is if we could possibly have as much time as possible to bring the report back to the GMS Council, keeping in mind deadline set by the board of the 14th of December, and one of the views has been that we should not try and report this any later than the 7th of December, and that is basically the position. On sort of a personal note, I think that after the call we've had last week, I think it needs more time. Some people are considering the possibility of face-to-face meeting to try and resolve some of the issues. I don't know where that will go, but that's a good issue. At the moment, what we would request the GMS Council to do is provide as much possible time as we can, keeping in mind the 14th of December deadline, and that sort of ends my day. Thank you.
Thank you, Zahid. Now, let me clarify something here. So the there are chances that the group could have something ready by the 7th of December. Do I understand that correctly?
Chuck, it's Alan. The 7th was set as being 7 working days prior to the 14th when we were proposing such a meeting be held. If the meeting is held on the 17th, then we would probably prefer to do it roughly a week before that, just to give us another set of meetings.
Okay.
So it really depends on what council absolutely needs to pass this by constituencies, keeping that down to an absolute minimum to give us perhaps the opportunity of another round of meetings on each of the subjects.
Well, it'd be very good. It'd be preferable to have 10 days instead of 7 days for us to get feedback from our constituencies and stakeholder groups and the at-large, et cetera. I think 7 days is the bare minimum that we would need for that.
7 calendar? Calendar or working?
Calendar.
Okay.
And that's another reason why 10 calendars better than 7, okay? Because you have fewer work days in both those cases. Let me ask also, Denise is on the call, so let me ask. Denise and I had a good conversation. It was, I think, about 3 o'clock in the morning in Cairo when we talked or something like that. Maybe it was 2, as I was on my trip back from the IGF on Friday and Saturday. Denise, could you comment in terms of the possible flexibility of both the board and staff with regard to the deadline of the 14th?
Sure. Given how the work will be incorporated, both in the staff's effort and in the board's schedule, extending it for a short period in December will have no effect, and that would be fine, and still in keeping with the board's request, and or staff is keeping the board apprised of the work in progress in the GINA cell, and if you revise your work schedule to meet the GINA cell council on December 17th, we'll make sure that the board is aware of that.
Thank you. So I think there's some flexibility here. I don't think we have a lot of flexibility. Ideal, I think, would be as if we could get something by the 7th, that would give us 10 days to vet whatever's proposed with all of our respective groups, and then have a motion. We would need a motion 8 days before. That's another reason why the 7 days is a little bit of a problem, Alan, versus the 10. But we would need a motion 8 days before the council meeting on the 17th of December to act on the recommendations of the STI group. Now, it seems to me that
Chuck?
If we – just 1 second. If we can shoot for that goal, that would be a good target, with the understanding that there is the possibility that it may not be achieved, at which point we could revisit this in our 17 December meeting. Okay, was that Stefan?
Yes, sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. Stefan's in the queue. Who else would like to be on the queue here?
Alan.
Okay. Anybody else?
Okay.
Who was that? Okay, so I have Stefan.
I think it was Zahid.
Was it Zahid? You're breaking up a little bit, Zahid, is why I'm not catching it all the time. So sorry about that.
This is Zahid.
Okay, so I've got Stefan, Alan, Zahid. Anyone else? Okay, Stefan, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. If we need to have a motion 8 days before the December the 17th, that means the motion has to be, if my calculations are correct, out there on the 9th. So if we, that leaves us very little time from the 7th.
Understand. I think we could develop a motion though in that. In fact, if the group is willing to have someone on their group go ahead and draft a motion, that would be fine. If not, they should let Olga and Stefan and I know, and we will make sure that a motion is drafted for that. The drafting the motion is the easy part of this. Okay, the hard work is being done by the STI group.
Yeah, I was thinking more of the time needed for feedback before. I mean, would we want to wait for the stakeholder groups to come back with their feedback before we drafted the motion, is what I was thinking.
Ideally, that would be good. In this case, I don't think we have that luxury. We would have to distribute, once the motion is drafted 8 days before, that motion would also have to be distributed to the various groups for comment and decisions whether to support the motion or not. So it'll be simultaneous to the STI recommendations being distributed for comment.
Yeah, I think that's a very good approach.
All right, Alan.
Yeah, a couple of comments. First of all, I note all stakeholder groups are represented, and based on the discussion, there's at least some feedback going back on a regular basis from them. So it's not as if everyone should be completely in the dark before we come up with some proposal. Given that we've had 3 weeks of meetings and we're talking about at least another, I've lost track now, 1 or 2 weeks before the date of the 7th, let's just see what it is. Yeah, 2 more weeks of meetings to hit the 7th, and 3 more weeks if we have to slip a couple of days. I'm optimistic we will have something which is perhaps not a full consensus, but at least large consensus on most of the points prior to then. And I would suspect that we will be able to provide formal feedback on an interim basis, you know, a week or so earlier than that. So aiming at the 7th and understanding it might be slipped by 2 or 3 days, I think is certainly doable. We may find some showstoppers along the way, of course. And that's why we said to get a really tuned, full consensus, we might actually require a face-to-face meeting in January. And I presume the board would be supportive of that if that will get them off the hook of having to make a decision themselves.
And we can, if in fact that becomes the case, I think that's something we could deal with in December then. And as
certainly
long as I think that, now we have 2 meetings in December, one is fairly early, so it would almost, the second meeting in December I think is on the 28th, excuse me, of January is the 20, I think the 28th of January, and so that's pretty late in January. I'm sure we would absolutely not want to even consider anything happening, finalizing that any later than that, but ideally it would be much better if we could do it in December.
As a personal comment, those of us who have been spending almost full time on this in Seoul want this over soon, too.
I'm sure you do. And Alan, you made a very good point that I want to reemphasize with everybody on the call. I think each of us have representatives on the SDI group. Please do everything you can to be keeping your respective groups updated on this and getting feedback along the way. I know that because I'm in the Registry Stakeholder Group that has been happening quite a lot. And if all of us would do that, that will help mitigate the problems of the short turnaround at the end when we need to get final feedback. So I encourage everyone to please do all you can to keep your respective groups involved in the discussions going on so there are no surprises come that 7 or 10 day period that we have to make final decisions. Thank you very much, Alan. Excellent and constructive input there. Zahid.
Yeah, hi. Actually, I'd like to dovetail with Alan's comments. I'm wondering that in case we have a situation, and this is maybe a point of clarification, maybe from Denise if she's on the call, if we don't reach consensus or reach consensus in the majority of areas, does it mean the staff proposal goes through? Now, considering that is one of the eventualities, is it possible for the SDI to come back and say, well, this is what we've done up till now, here's where we have consensus, but we need more time, or, it doesn't trigger a default process is what my question is. Would that be possible to come back with maybe an interim report or just saying that these are the areas we've been able to reach consensus on so far.
And I'll let Denise comment on that. Let me share my understanding there. I think we all are aware that the board request said that if we're unable to reach consensus, then the board will consider the inputs provided and make some sort of decision. So recognizing that, I think there are several options. First of all, of course, if there's rough consensus, that's better than no agreement at all. So I think rough consensus is better than none. And as long as that's clear in the report and where the support is, I think one of the options that we have, if it would be to have each stakeholder group and advisory committee that's participating, put forth their position, and if there's not at least a rough consensus in the SDI group, then we can at least provide the board, hey, here are the four stakeholder groups and the ALAC, here are their positions on this. That at least gives the board some data to use to make a final decision in terms of how to proceed. Ideally, of course, if we can get rough consensus or even stronger consensus, then that's even better. And I think that the advantage of doing that is that the GNSO then is really having the bottom-up say in terms of how to proceed. If we don't achieve a strong agreement, then we're essentially forced into turning it over to staff and the board to make the final decision. So to the extent that we can reach some agreement ourselves, I think it's a much stronger position for the bottom-up process. And let me say, I have been just totally impressed with the STI group and the members of that group in terms of the cooperative spirit and engagement by everybody in it. So in a very short order, they have, in my opinion, done a super job, and my compliments go to them. Denise.
Yes, so ultimately, obviously, this is the board's tasking and request, and it would be up to the board to determine whether it would be appropriate to significantly change the deadline and the submission. And as Chuck noted, it certainly would be appropriate to indicate in December the agreements or majority opinions, in particular minority opinions, that has been reached by the group, and then beyond that, if the group would like, the GNSO would like additional time to continue working on some aspects, that request can be made of the board, and ultimately the board would decide if that would be appropriate.
And Denise, when is the board meeting in December?
It's December 9th.
December 9th, so it's before our meeting anyway. And the board meeting in January is when?
Give me a second. I'll pull that up. I've got the schedule. It's probably the first couple of weeks in January. I'm pulling
the
schedule.
And is it possible that in between December 9th and the board meeting in January that any direction from the board could be obtained regarding a longer extension if it's deemed to be helpful?
Oh, certainly. We can use the board email list for this purpose, and the chair and board members. Have the ability to discuss this via email.
Okay.
And
thank
it
you.
Looks like they haven't actually set their 2010 schedule or haven't posted it yet, so
okay.
I can't tell you when the meeting is in January.
Right. Okay. That's okay. That wasn't needed too specifically. So if I'm understanding correctly, what would be very helpful is if by the 7th, or if they need a couple other days, that would be okay, that the STI group presented a report. If it's got some final recommendations, great. If they have, if they're not quite final and could benefit from a little more time, they could request that. But it would still be helpful if in the report they show the level of agreement that that is achieved so far on various aspects of this. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
Did you say yes? Did I capture that correctly? Denise?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I wasn't sure you were talking to me. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I wasn't sure in your response, so that's helpful. So did that make sense for those of you on the STI group?
Yeah, Chuck, it's Alan.
Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah. One of the threats that's been hanging over people based on their reading of the original board letter was that if we don't come to a real consensus, then the board will implement the staff proposal as written. And that is not what the letter actually said. And presumably, if we have unanimous agreement on the STI review team that point X of a staff proposal is not optimal, and we have another one that we all agree on, presumably the board will not discard those things that we agree on just because we don't have full consensus on all the points. And that is in line with what the letter said. So I think there's been a misinterpretation that if we don't reach full consensus, then the default view is the board, is the staff proposal with no changes whatsoever. And I think we have clarity now that that is not the case, and that will help us go forward.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well, Alan.
I understand, but that hasn't been everyone's understanding.
Does that anybody on this call not understand it that way? Okay, so to the extent that it's helpful in your respective groups, I encourage you to make sure that everybody understands it that way. So, in other words, it's not just the staff's proposal or some full consensus proposal. That would, I think, be unreasonable, and I can't imagine the board taking a position like that. So I think Alan said it very well.
Yeah. There's also a public comment period going on.
Yes. There will be a public comment period after the board puts something forward based on the STI.
There's one going on right now, I believe, on the staff proposal.
Right. Okay.
In addition. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And that now the STI group will be looking at that as well. Is that correct?
We probably should if we get around to it.
Yeah. All right, good. Anybody else want to talk about this particular issue?
Hi, Christina. Can I get the cue?
Who was that?
Christina.
Oh, okay. Yes, Christina, please.
And Wolf. Wolf.
Didn't understand who that was.
Wolf. Sorry.
Bill, okay.
Wolf.
Wolf.
Oh, Wolf, I'm sorry. My hearing problem is haunting me here. Got you, Wolf. Some of the voices, I don't know if it's just my headset or what, are coming through really muffled, so I apologize for that. Go ahead, Christina.
Just following up on a point that was just raised, I've been reading the public comments that are coming in, and a lot of folks are saying essentially we don't necessarily see the point in providing elaborate, detailed comments on the staff implementation proposal, given that they're currently under consideration and are likely to change. So I guess my question is both for Denise and for Zod. And Denise, has the board made a formal decision as to whether or not they are going to take public comment on the GNSO recommendation? And Zod, is the SDI got a position as to whether or not that should happen?
Christina, let me... So a formal statement or position hasn't been issued, and there's certainly, I think, an expectation that it'll be part of the ongoing public comment on this, but let me get some any clarification that the board may have and get back to the council list on that.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks, Christina.
Mr. Vibe. Yeah, this is Christina. I know there is no formal position of the SDI on this, as far as I understand it. No.
Okay, thank you.
Denise will get back to the council list in terms of the plans with regard to a comment period regarding any final recommendations that the board approves. Okay. Wolf?
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. Well, maybe I missed something with regard to, I have to learn something with regard to the procedure, the STI procedure. That means, my question is, when we, and the council has to come into action with regard to these STI activities, is there something, or is it just on a working team level and then between working team and board, or... So I would like to understand when we as councilors have to come to do some actions here.
Yeah, good question, Wolf. And the council does have to. The council will be the one that presents any final recommendations to the board. So that's why we want to have minimum of 7 days, more ideally 10 days, between the STI recommendations and council action, which we're hoping will happen on the 17th of December, so that each of us in our respective stakeholder groups and advisory committees, et cetera, can get the feedback from our constituencies so that on the 17th, if we're able to do it, we can vote at that time on a motion to what to send on to the board. Does that make sense?
Okay. The STI is going to deliver recommendations to the council. That's correct, yeah?
Yes.
And then we have to move on that. Okay.
That is correct.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. No, that's a very important question to get clear understanding on. Any other comments or discussions on this? Okay. Zahid, thanks for the update. And Alan, for all of your additions there, and for Denise giving some clarification. Again, my compliments to the work going on. It's a big task, and I have been very impressed with the effective collaboration that's going on from everyone. So thanks for that. Going on then to item 7 on the agenda. You recall on our follow-up meeting in Seoul on Thursday, we talked a lot about prioritizing our work, and there's been some activity going on by a little subgroup of us in that regard. I'd like to ask Olga to give an overview of what's happening there and what's going to happen next.
Thank you very much, Chuck. We have set up an email list. The group has grown from very few of us to some more of us, luckily, so we will have more opinions. And the idea is that we have been exchanging some ideas on how to categorize action items and also how to prioritize them. Oh, very difficult word for me. Prioritize them. We had also very, very good help from staff, from Liz and Ken. And we will have our first conference call this afternoon, today, and hopefully we will propose to the council a certain methodology for this categorization and for prioritization of the action items. But as soon as we already have some type of graphs and methodology discussed among us, but we have some interesting new inputs from Rosemary and other council members. So we will have our discussion this afternoon, and hopefully we'll come up with some ideas to the council as soon as possible.
Thank you, Olga. Does anybody else that is working on that task want to comment? Does anybody on the call have any questions? So, Olga, is it fair to hope that by our meeting on December 17th, a proposed methodology for prioritizing our work would be ready for council consideration?
I hope it would be before, but yes, let's have that date in mind. But I hope we can propose something before.
Thank you. Okay. Any other?
Chuck,
yes.
Chuck, it's Adrian.
Go ahead, Adrian. Who else? Adrian
and
Stefan, but let Adrian go first.
Okay.
Oh, no, I was just wanting to let Olga know that I wouldn't be on that call in the morning.
Yes, I saw your message. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
It has been difficult for me to set up this call because being in Egypt almost without connectivity out of the working hours of the meeting was really challenging for me. So if there has been a delay in setting up this call, it's because of me. So my apologies, Adrian.
No, you're fine. There's no apology necessary. Thank you.
Okay.
And I think it's safe to assume that we're going to have one or two more calls, and hopefully those can be set up when we can get full participation of those who have volunteered on this. So will the call today be recorded?
Yes,
Glenn.
Chuck. Yes,
thank
recorded
you.
And transcribed.
Excellent. So
right.
So that'll be available, and hopefully we probably should work soon after our call today to set up a follow-up call, and hopefully we'll be able to get a time that everybody can participate. Thank you very much, Olga, and the team that's working on the prioritization.
I think there was a comment from Stefan.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, Stefan.
No, that's fine, actually. I mean, you're having a call tonight anyway. I won't be able to participate, unfortunately, but let me review the transcript from the call, and I'll ask any questions after that. Won't take up the council's time now.
Thank you.
Okay.
Going to item 8, status updates. First of all, we have requested an issues report on vertical separation of registries and registrars. Margie, could you give us an update on that, please?
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Sure. Okay, great. The issues report was due today. We're in the process of finalizing it because of all the work that we've been doing, particularly on the STI. It's been a task to meet the deadline, and so we're asking for an extension through the end of next week to deliver the report on Friday, December 4th, if that's all right.
Are there any objections to that? Okay. Consider that granted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margie. Okay, and thanks for staff, all the staff work on that on top of everything else. Item 8.2 on the agenda then is the GNSO Improvements Working Team recommendations for council review. There's only one item there that's at the council level right now, and that's the OSC Constituency Work Team recommendations for a constituency and stakeholder group toolkit of services. That document was distributed some time ago. And it's only on the agenda today. Just as a reminder, please, between now and our meeting on the 17th, make sure that your respective groups discuss that so that we can have a motion. We will have a motion on the table for our December 17th meeting to approve those recommendations with any edits that might be proposed for sending on to the board in that regard. So that would be the first specific GNSO improvement implementation recommendations that would be moved forward to the board and hopefully then can begin to be implemented once the board approves them. So we will have a vote on those recommendations on December 17th. Any questions or comments on that? And I think that there may be another one coming in the next few weeks or so with regard to the GNSO website, but we'll deal with that when it happens. By the way, again, to reinforce on the toolkit of services, the OSC, the steering committee, has approved the recommendations of the – it's not so much they have approval right. I don't mean to imply that, but has accepted the recommendations by the working team, and so it's now in the council's court to send them on to the board. Any questions on that? All right. Then item 8.3, the joint SAC-GNSO Working Group on Internationalized Data Registration. I think Liz and Julie probably both may want to comment on this in terms of status.
Yes, we have a call scheduled for the first call of the group scheduled for tomorrow. Julie, I think we have about 10 people on that list now.
Actually, we have, this is Julie, we have 16. A couple of those are really just, I don't want to say observers, but maybe not active participants, but important to include on the list so that they get the updates and emails and so on. And we have from that one representative of the ALAC. We have 10 from the GNSO, and we have 4 from the SAC.
So that's pretty good for the kickoff meeting, which is tomorrow, and they'll be discussing a chair and developing a work plan as their first item of business based on the charter that was approved by the council and the SAC.
Are there any of the stakeholder groups that are not represented on that team?
No.
Everybody has represented. Excellent.
Oh, okay. All the stakeholder groups are represented, Chuck.
Very good. I appreciate that. Any questions or comments on that working group? Okay, and for those that are new to this, you know, an easy way to and not necessarily terribly accurate, but an easy way to think of this one is it is related to who is, okay? But more on a technical basis in terms of the requirements for data to be displayed like we do today, and who is, except representing internationalized data registration, et cetera. So this is more of a technically oriented group and would undoubtedly, once it finishes work, move into the policy arena. Did I say that correctly, Liz and Julie?
Yes, and there's very good technical representation on this working group.
Good.
I'm pretty pleased with that. I think it's going to be very helpful to a fruitful product.
Okay. Anything else on that?
No, thanks.
All right, thank you. And thanks for the people working on that. The item 8.4 we're going to skip over because there is no board update, as you may have seen from Denise's email message. And we'll go right to item 8.5, which is the joint CCNSO-GNSO-IDN group. And Edmund sent an update just a few hours ago on that. So because it was sent not very long ago, I'd like him to just give us a brief update orally right now.
Sure. Well, I guess it's the I've provided some updates. I think I just want to point out one important issue. I think the charter since Seoul actually has been on the CCNSO side have been updated slightly, which is originally the charter was to have the group come to a close when the board either adopts the IDN CCTLD fast track or the new GTLD process. The new GTLD CCTLD fast track has been adopted, so the change has actually been to have the group close later on, which is either when the new GTLD process is being adopted or when the IDN CCTLD PDP is being adopted by the board. So there is a technical change there, which I want to bring up. I don't think we have to make a formal resolution on this, but I guess I'll pass back to Chuck. The group has just started working. And
thanks, Edmund. So let me first of all make sure that everybody understands the change that occurred in the charter. Keep in mind that the council had approved a draft charter a couple months ago, at least, and since then the CCNSO recommended one change, and that change was as to when the group would end unless both parties agree to extend it further, and that's what Edmund was talking about. So Edmund, just for clarity, to make sure everybody follows it, what did the charter that the GNSO Council had approved say in terms of when the group would end? The old language.
The old language basically says that it would end when one of two things happen. One would be the adoption of the IDN CCTLD fast track. The other is the new GTLD process, which is which also includes IDN GTLDs. That was the original.
Okay, and the would you repeat once more, just so everybody's clear, what the change made by the CCNSO says?
So the change, because the board has already adopted the IDN CCTLD fast track, so the change is to say that instead of that being the end, to have the IDN CCTLD PDP, the policy development process, which is ongoing right now, the long track, if you will, when that is completed.
Or when the...
need detail be.
Yeah, either one, and it can be extended with the agreement of both SOs, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Any questions on that? Does anybody object to this change to the charter? So we will conclude then that the charter change is fine, and that group is moving forward. Now, one more thing, Edmund. In your update, you talked about three topics that the group is discussing, and I noticed that a couple new ones have been communicated by someone on that list as well. But if you could go over those three items that the group plans to focus on, I think that would be helpful.
Sure. Well, I don't think the group has made any plans yet. I think it's still doing sort of a stock-taking at this point. But the three ones that were identified, two of which are we've talked about a few times, the IDN TLD string length for the length restrictions for IDN CCTLDs and IDN JTLDs. And the second one was the variant management, having variant IDN TLDs at the root. And the third one, which was identified recently, is whether IDN language tables or policies, how are they going to be implemented at the root, and some discussion on whether there should be some consistency of that implementation across TLDs.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Now, note that in the agenda, we didn't include all status updates because in, I think, just about every case, written status updates were provided by the chairs. A couple of them just came in today, but they were written. So unless there are no other requests for status updates on any particular group in this meeting, I'll just open it up for any questions or comments on any of the written updates that we haven't gone over, noting that the PPSC work team submitted their updates just shortly before this meeting. Yes, who is that?
Yeah, Chuck, it's Wolf speaking.
Go ahead, Wolf.
Well, it doesn't touch a group which is set up by the council, but I wonder whether I should put this question because it's related to the expression of interest group. What I wanted to understand is right now, in this expression of interest process right now, which is initiated by the board, whether the and when maybe the council has to come into action with regarding to that question. I understand right now there's a process of public comment with regards to that expression of interest, and there was a group set up, and they provided a report, and people, some members of the council also attended in their personal or any else capacity. I wonder, and I'm asking, is there something expected that the council has to come into action with regard to that item?
Good question, Wolf. Let me share my view on that, and then others can jump in as they want. I don't think there's any particular expectation that the council submit comments with regard to the expressions of interest comment period that's going on right now. But the council always can if we want to try and reach some sort of a GNSO-wide position on that. Now, it may be kind of difficult in the time frame that's in front of us to do that, especially with everything else on the plate, but it's up to us as a council to decide whether we want to comment as a council or to just allow whatever groups want to submit their own comments in that regard. So let me open that up for discussion in terms of what other people think in that regard. Is there any interest in a council-wide set of comments that would be submitted on this, or is the preference more to let each group do what they desire?
It's Wolf again.
Go ahead.
Chuck. Well, I didn't expect that we, as council, should deliver, provide comment on that. So I really see that it's open for the community. But my question is related for, you know, that what shall come after? So that means after that comment period. What just to understand how this process is going on, and is there something when the council should come into that game again or not? Not
okay.
Comments.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry I misunderstood that. That's it's a good question, and it's a question that comes up in all of these implementation details as we're going through this long implementation process for new GTLDs. I don't know if anyone on staff wants to comment on that. They certainly are welcome to. I think ultimately, in whatever is recommended with regard to expressions of interest, that ideally it would be good if the GNSO through the council, participated. I'm not sure what that will involve until we see whatever decisions are incorporated, probably in DAG 4, which hopefully would be before Nairobi. But the question you're asking is a broad one that applies to just about everything that's going on now with regard to implementation details for new GTLDs. Anyone from staff want to comment on that, or for that matter, anybody on the call?
This is Denise. I'm sorry, I was multitasking. Could you restate the question for me?
I think it is, Denise, that, okay, there's a request for comments on a possible expressions of interest for new GTLDs going on right now. Ultimately, based on the public input, some recommendation will be made with regard to whether or not expressions of interest are sought, and if so, how. At that point, what is the GNSO Council's role with regard to any final recommendations?
So my understanding is that there's not been any special role identified for the Council specifically relating to expressions of interest, if that's the question. As to how the public comment sessions will be run and in the future, I think that's part of the clarification I need to get. That's also related to Christina's question. Does that address the issue?
Wolf, does that help?
Yes, it helps. Maybe my question is also related. Let me, frankly speaking, so I'm still, as a new counselor, I'm looking for what are the competencies of the council, or will be in the future as well. So for me, it's not very clear. Is there a really strict line between, let me say, policy development and implementation? That means, after the policy development process has been resolved for that, and then it comes to any implementation of any issue, then the council may be out of action, if that is very clear. So then it's clear. So, but it's not that clear at the time being for me.
You're absolutely right that it's not clear. And hopefully that the PPSC PDP team will deal with that issue and come forward with some recommendations in that regard. But it's not clear to you, but it's not clear to the rest of us either, because this is really ground that we're kind of breaking as we go.
Chuck, it's Alan. Could I get in?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think we're talking about things at several different levels right now. My assumption right now is unless the council is asked, it's none of the council's business other than as individuals in comment periods. Just as we were asked on the two STI issues, we were not asked about the post-delegation issue. So the board has chosen to ask us, and we are reacting on those we are. There's many other issues where we have not been formally invoked as a council. Regarding the PDP process, And in fact, regarding the STI process itself, one of the issues we're discussing in the STI group is if we want to have a review of the URS quickly, you know, 6 months, a year afterwards, what happens if we find out that we need change? We have absolutely no process within ICANN to make a change to a policy other than invoking a full PDP or if the board feels emergency action is necessary. And in the PDP working group, we are also starting to talk, but we've just started, on what kind of process do we put in place to review and modify policies if we didn't get them quite right without having to go back to square zero. There just is no process right now within ICANN that formally describes how we do this, and it's probably one we need to look at in some depth.
And, Alan, are you on the PDP work team?
Yes, I am.
Is the group considering this whole issue of implementation and GNSO role?
Not so much implementation. We haven't got to that stage yet. We may well be looking at it, but certainly from the point of view of the GNSO, as we've done in a number of recent policies, saying there must be a review period, but we haven't addressed what do we do if we find a change is necessary. So we're certainly looking at it from that point of view, and I don't know to what extent we'll look at implementation. I'm sure we'll discuss it. We may choose to punt on it, though.
Right. And is it fair to assume that those of you who, like Alan, who are on the PDP work team, will kind of pass on Wolf's question to the team?
I'm also a member. So.
Oh, you're in it. Excellent. That's even better.
In that case, I'll let him do it himself.
I think we've got it covered. I'm glad you're on that because it's a very good question.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Stefan here. Wolf, was your question also about the fact that the expression of interest board resolution, were you asking whether that would actually fall under a kind of policy development process or not? I mean, is your area of the area that you're not understanding, is that to do with the fact that you know, should we be involved in that, or should the or can the board just ask, in general terms, the ICANN community to comment? Is that something that you're also saying you're uncertain with? I'm just trying to understand your question.
Yeah, okay, well speaking. Stefan, well, you remember, you know, it came up, you know, when the group was set up, and then it was asked, okay, whether officially some members of the council or some constituencies should participate. Okay, it ended up because that caused some confusion with regards to what extent the council should get in into that discussion or part of the council. And that's what I wanted to clarify. That was the only thing. I wasn't aware. I'm not sure about, you know, whether it's something which could end up, well, to step into a PDP, a new PDP item. So that's what I cannot see at the time being. But I would, just to clarify, you know, is there, you know, I wouldn't like to be involved in things which, okay, are clear that as a counselor, that the council has no role at the time being. So I wouldn't like to deal with those items at the time being, as a counselor.
No, I think, you know, I think your question is a very good one, and that we it's something that we as a council must give some thought to, because I don't think any of us are really clear on the position that we've been put in by this board resolution that came as somewhat of a surprise to most of us, and that seems to revisit some of the work that we've been doing. Maybe it doesn't, and, you know, the way I understand the expression of interest plan or the initiatives that, you know, reading some of the comments that have been put through on that list, it's probably not something that would impact, that would be a policy development process, or that would impact the policy development for the new PTLDs, but it may do, and we never know. And how does a GNSO council fit into that sort of thing? It's a question that I think we need to look at some point.
And I think it's really important for the PDP work team to consider these issues. And now they can, like Alan said, decide to punt on it and leave it alone. But I think as a first step, if they consider it and then come forward with some recommendation or no recommendation, whatever they decide, is a very useful thing for them to do.
Chuck, Alan, one more comment.
Go ahead.
Yeah. If you look back on what policies the GNSO has come up with in over recent years, they're an interesting combination of policy and implementation. You know, for instance, one could say that the GNSO GTLD policy saying you must have an end-month implementation or communication period is very much an implementation issue. Almost all of our policies have an implementation component. We didn't think of the of a expression of interest or rejected it. It certainly didn't show up in the final recommendation. Therefore, it's an initiative coming from another direction. But in the past, we have always had some level of implementation without any real fine boundary between policy and implementation. So to some extent, that is always going to continue to happen. The real question is, what about things that weren't in the final report? At what point should council be involved? I think that's the crucial question.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the written reports that were submitted? Notice that they are printed in the agenda except for the last few ones that were submitted, and it looks like even those are there. But in the future, that will not be the case. Instead, there will be a link so that that doesn't make the agenda so cumbersome there. No other questions or comments on the written status updates? Then we'll go then to item 9, which is any other business, and we have one item there so far, and that's Edmund's item on the IDN group. Edmund, go ahead.
Thank you. I really just want to bring it up to because I know there are some new counselors, just to invite them to, you know, if they're interested, to participate in the group. The IDNG was the group was originally started after Mexico, and we were looking at potentially a special track for introducing IDN GTLDs or having some application process. Well, after the discussions in Seoul and the many suggestions of having potentially different tracks, I think we just started to pick up the discussion again. I think there is, you know, continue to be interest about IDN GTLDs. So, you know, the group eventually, if we could come to some agreement, might come. The intent is to come back to the council to have a resolution on creating an actual group that would do the work. The group is really just see if we can agree to actually form a work team of some sort. So you know, this is just sort of half advertising for the group, and because I think it would be useful to have a bit more participation at this point.
Now, Edmund, there's a list that's formed for people interested in talking about that and possibly coming up with a proposal for the council. I think I'm hearing you say that if anybody else wants to be added to that group, they could do so. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. I think we're seeing some momentum on it, and the interest of having IDN GTLDs is definitely continues to be there. So I
would first of all request that you send a message to the list kind of describing what the little informal group is doing and inviting anybody to join if they would like. And then I think next steps is for that informal group to decide whether there's enough support to move forward with something that could be presented to the council for consideration. Does that work?
Yep.
And I would like to call attention, and I encourage others that were at the IGF to jump in on this if you'd like, but one of the things that I noted in the IGF meeting in Sharm el-Sheikh last week is that totally independent of what we have been talking about in the GNSO, there was, first of all, a lot of focus on the introduction of the IDN CCTLD fast track, but several commenters from different stakeholder groups, including governments in at least one case, were saying that, hey, this is great that we're having IDN CCTLDs on a fast-track basis, but we also need IDN GTLDs. So the interest on this particular topic is not restricted to just certain interests in the GNSO, but there are broader interests that totally independently were communicating that same desire in the IGF last week. Anybody else that was at the IGF want to comment on that?
Is that
Edmund?
I totally agree. And in several occasions,
you're breaking up, Edmund. I don't know what's going on there. Okay, apparently there's some technical difficulties there, because at least, is anybody else hearing all of Edmund's comments?
No,
I'm not. No, it doesn't sound like it, Edmund. I'm not sure what's going on. Sorry about that. Anyone else or anybody at all on the council want to comment on this? So we'll let that informal process continue, and to the extent that something comes out of that, they will come back to the council for consideration of any further steps in that regard. Is there any other? Yes?
It's Bill.
I just thought I'd make
the general point. You are indeed detecting a great deal of interest, but it's quite unformed, and I would say in some senses uninformed. And I'm sure, I don't know if you've been to a previous IGF or not, there's been involved in these processes, but it's really clear that there's quite a big gulf between the kinds of conversations that are going on within the council and within ICANN more generally around these issues, and the perceptions and expressions of acute interest that one finds in the broader internet-related community, particularly among governments. And it seems to me that there's a communication issue there that has to be addressed somehow. I don't think what we're doing or what the intentions behind a lot of our activities may be are being understood very widely, aside from the fairly narrow circle of actors that actually pay close attention to the GNSO. And I think it's a problem.
And I think you said that very well, Bill. My main point in bringing that up was that if we do consider something, we should keep in mind that there are interests very different than ours that don't have the same understanding we have. And so if we're going to look at something, we should be aware of that, so that if we decide to move forward on something, that we not just look at our own interests, but some of those on the outside. Thank you. Okay, any other comments on that? Is there any other business? Okay, well, I think then before I adjourn, I just want to especially thank all who participated in the middle of the night, and there were quite a few of those in this case on staff, especially if we had staff into it. So thank you very much for being willing to do that and accommodate those in parts of the world where they're usually the ones that are doing that. So thank you very much. I also want to thank again the new members of the council, David and Caroline, and certainly the others that joined in Seoul. And just as one last item, do any of you have questions or comments that you would like to put forward as new members that might be helpful to us or maybe give clarity to you in terms of being members of the council?
Thanks, Chuck. It's Caroline here. I don't think so. Not at this stage. I've had a couple of very helpful conversations with some of the council members and staff, so I have a lot of information that I'm sort of waiting through at the minute, but thank you for the offer.
Thank you, Caroline. And thanks to staff for, you know, providing briefings for the new counselors and question and answer sessions. That's very much appreciated. David, do you have anything to add or any questions?
No, nothing at all. I spoke to Glenn briefly, who offered her services to get me up to speed on things. So I'm now intending to take that up, that kind offer. But thanks for your offer as well.
Thank you. And then for our new counselors that joined us in Seoul, I think you're already veterans, but certainly if any of you have any questions or comments, that would be good right now.
Everything's fine, Jim.
Thank you,
that's
Andre.
Hi, this is Debbie. No questions at this time.
Thanks, Debbie. And Rosemary?
No questions either, Chuck.
Okay, excellent. And certainly, all of you that are new, don't hesitate to contact any of us if we can be helpful. Well, thank you very much to everyone, and our next meeting then is on December 17th, and I believe we go to option number 2, which is 1500 UTC. Is that correct?
That's correct, Chuck.
Okay. So we'll look forward to lots of list discussion between now and then. And that meeting request will be sent out so that everyone knows. 1500 UTC on Thursday, December the 17th. Thanks, everybody. The meeting
is
now adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.